colleges are under pressure to crack down on campus sexual assault, but they've also been facing pushback from accused students who say schools have been going too far. Some of these accused students say that their rights are being violated. And in the past few months, some of those students have seen significant victories in court. NPR's Tovia Smith reports.
Students kind of can't miss the warnings these days about the risk of campus sexual assault. But increasingly, some students are also taking note of what some perceive as a different danger.
Once you're accused, you're guilty. We're living in kind of a society where you're guilty before innocent now.
It doesn't take long to find concerns among male students stopped randomly at Boston University, like Parker Oaks, Peter Brodeur, Sam Howard, and Xavier Etzera.
You just got to be careful. It's like the woman's word is like the final word.
You can't have 100% faith in the system.
Yeah, I think that we used to not be fair to women. And now that we are on the other extreme, we're not being fair to guys.
As another student from the University of California at San Diego put it, schools are simply overcorrecting.
I think that schools need to stop because people like me are just always getting hurt.
This student, who asked to remain anonymous to protect his reputation, was suspended last spring after a fellow student accused him of sexual assault. He says he was shocked by the accusation. He and the alleged victim had been hanging out, texting, partying, and studying together for months after the alleged assault. But he says he never had a chance to make his case because the school wouldn't let him introduce his text messages as evidence or challenge the investigator or effectively cross-examine his accuser.
I was so angry because that was really my sole opportunity to defend myself.
So he took his case to court, filing as John Doe, and he ended up with a landmark ruling against the University of California. The judge called Doe's hearing fundamentally unfair and forced the school to reinstate him.
I was ecstatic at that point. It kind of took some for a judge to come out and make the decision that they made, because every single point that we had raised about unfairness and lack of evidence, the judge agreed with.
You know, a case like this makes for a really easy lesson to say, like, this is what not to do.
New England Law School professor Aaron Buzovis has been watching a recent flurry of court decisions slamming schools for systems stacked against the accused. In the past few months, Middlebury College and the University of Southern California were both ordered to reinstate expelled students. So was the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga after a judge ruled the school was basically upending a fundamental principle of justice by making an accused perpetrator prove he wasn't guilty.
I've looked at what a university has done and thought, oh gosh, what, you know, like, what are you thinking?
Some 50 challenges by accused students are now in the pipeline, up from about a dozen just 2 years ago. And even one of the more brazen lawsuits, claiming a kind of reverse discrimination in federal court, recently logged a rare, albeit small, legal victory. And colleges seem to be taking note. Many are adding new protections for accused students, like the right to an attorney, and the public conversation in general is putting new focus on the accused.
Due process is paramount, and due process requires reasonable determinations.
Joe Cohn, an advocate for the rights of the accused with a group called FIRE, says he sees it as a victory that he was even invited to testify at a recent congressional hearing. He's also heartened by two new bills that include robust due process protections. But on the other hand, Cohn says he was shocked at the hearing to find some calls for even less due process, like this suggestion from Democratic Congressman Jared Polis.
I mean, if there's 10 people that have been accused and, you know, under a reasonable likelihood standard, maybe one or two did it, seems better to get rid of all 10 people.
Polis has since clarified he doesn't support expelling innocent students, but Cohn says it is telling and troublesome that the original comment drew loud applause.
We're a ways away from reaching the kind of equilibrium that will provide fundamental fairness to everyone involved.
In some ways, advocates say accused students are following much the same path that victims did. First, suffering silently, thinking they were the only ones, then slowly connecting with others, then with attorneys, and eventually becoming a force to be reckoned with.
The irony isn't lost on us. The parallels are uncanny, frankly.
Sherry Warner Seafeld founded a group called FACE a year ago after her son was suspended for sexual assault and then won on appeal. Now Seafeld says many accused students who see themselves as victims feel as traumatized as victims of sexual assault.
if we dare to suggest such a thing. There are a number of people that go pretty hysterical about that, but we know for a fact that there is huge amounts of depression, that there have been suicides. It is really tragic.
Warner Seafeld says she's encouraged by what she sees as a new trend in the courts. There's no question, she says, that schools have historically had a problem automatically doubting and blaming victims. And she's quick to add, it's still an issue. But schools need to fix that, she says, without creating a new problem by automatically doubting and blaming the accused. Tovia Smith, NPR News.